Welcome to this episode of the 9420 podcast, where we talk about the music that we love and the industry that we tolerate.
Hey. Come on.
I had the one break my heart twice. Hurt me so bad, thought that I'd die. So I went to LA on a late flight. Pulled my black hoodie over my eyes. Just wanted a drink and an ocean. Then you asked if that sea was open. Yeah. Now I thank God that she dumped me. Cause I found love in 22D. Nothing ever goes my way at all. But honestly, I can't complain enough. I'm a lucky, lucky loser, loser. I thought I didn't wanna lose her, lose her. Now I'm thinking of the bad days, broken knees and heartaches. Every single last place got me into you, babe. Lucky, lucky loser, loser. Lucky, lucky I might want some more of
hey.
That kind of karma that star-crossed
okay.
Cause everything I thought went so wrong somehow led me to the right one. Nothing ever goes my way at all. But honestly, I can't complain, I know. I'm a lucky, lucky loser, loser. I thought I didn't want to lose her, lose her. Now I'm thinking of the bad days, broken knees and heartaches. Every single last place got me here to you. Sidewalk cracks, step on them all, cause I know that I'm a lucky, lucky loser, loser. I thought I didn't wanna lose her, lose her. Now I'm thinking of the bad days, broken knees and heartaches. Every single last place got me into you, babe. Lucky, lucky loser, loser. Lucky, lucky loser. Lucky, lucky loser, loser. Lucky, lucky loser. So bring me all the fallen ladders, yeah. Bring me some more glass. Sidewalk cracks, step on them all and I won't look back.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of the 9420 podcast. That was AJ Rags with Lucky Loser. Hi Carl and Greg, how are you both doing?
Hello, hello Carl. Hello. And Nicole and Greg.
Hello Carl.
You know,
hello,
you know, very reminiscent of Jason Mraz. It reminds you a lot like Jason Mraz.
I got Justin Bieber. Like, I don't know why.
I couldn't even tell you what a Justin Bieber song sounds like, so I don't even know what that... So maybe, I don't know.
I mean,
I
maybe...
I thought it was kind of cool. I don't oh, like sweet. Hip-hop I liked influenced it. Stuff, but that one is kind of got a novelty feel.
I don't hear hip-hop. You hear hip-hop there?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's like the big bass track and the percussive bass and then the old-school drum loop. Yeah, I think it's
remember the
hip-hop
show,
influence.
Remember the show... This is my new attitude about life. Remember the show Hogan's Heroes?
Like Hulk Hogan?
No, there was a show back in the 70s called Hogan's Heroes.
You're showing your age,
I
Nicole.
Know.
Hogan's Heroes, where they had like, it was...
Bob
it,
Crane.
It turns out it was weird. It's about in a Nazi prison camp. Yep. And there was this, and they were like goofing on the Nazis. They made the Nazis like a bunch of buffoons, and they're, but in it there was this one Sergeant Schultz, right?
Yep.
And
I know nothing.
Exactly.
Right.
And he kept saying, "I know nothing. I know nothing." And I realized that's my new motto. I know nothing.
This is a pretty sophisticated show. Actually, it was kind of supposed to be zany and whatnot, but.
Well, making fun of Nazis, the Nazis.
It was kind of nuanced in certain ways. The show became, I mean, it was ruined for me when you found out what happened in Bob Crane's personal life.
He got, was murdered or something?
Yeah, and he was really into some dark stuff. He had his own little private production company, if you get my drift.
Anyway, so... I know nothing but, so I know nothing about hip hop.
I know nothing.
But yeah, I liked it. I liked, you know, it was kind of cool. It was positive.
It's very summer-esque too, like the sound of it.
Right.
So I could see that being played while people are doing boats and going on the beach and stuff like that.
So is that what you do? Do you do boats?
I mean, I guess drive boats, have a boat party, go
ride and
ride on
sail. Boats. You sail boats. No, that's.
You, no, you drive thing. Boats and you sail sailboats.
What were you going to say, Greg?
I was going to say that Nicole mentioned something interesting to me. That she said it's a summer song.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and I've talked lovingly before on the podcast about my summer song. It's Crystal Blue Persuasion. But, you know, there is a song. I was listening for songs for an artist about 4 or 5 years ago, and I got pitched this song, and I think it is an absolute summer, worldwide summer smash, and nobody's ever cut it, and it's laying on a shelf somewhere in this little indie publishing company, and it's called 99 Bananas. Do you know what that is?
No.
I've heard of 99 Bananas before. Why does that sound familiar?
It's like kind of a strange, high-volume alcohol content thing that it's like a liqueur almost.
Oh gosh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and they have hundreds of different flavors or whatever, but it's called the brand is 99 Bananas, and these people wrote this song about 99 bananas and about hanging out on the beach and that kind of thing, and it's just like so infectious. Carl, we need to find an artist. And we need to produce a version of this 99 Bananas, and it may put us on the map. After all these years, we might get on the map with 99 Bananas.
You can do it. I'm not going to do it.
I know nothing.
Anyway, but so I guess we have to talk about She That Will Not Be Named.
We
right?
Okay, we do, because I...
Why?
Because she released... for you, and I listened to all 31 songs.
I listened, I scanned through it myself, and to be honest, I'm being serious, it's lackluster. It sounds like the same song, the same... It's Demo City.
It's
like,
getting poor reviews.
Well, and here,
it really is.
I mean,
it's a money grab.
Here's the thing: it is like the most streamed album of all time on Spotify and whatnot because her fans love it. But
that don't mean anything.
Review-wise, you're right. People are saying that Jack Antonoff, who's like her producer and has been a producer for like a decade now, I think he's holding her back because he does that synth.
Yeah,
sound
the
whole
over
time,
and over
so
again.
Like you can't really differentiate between like Folklore, Evermore, Midnights, and this album because they kind of all sound the same. And there were a lot of songs where, when you start it and you get into it, it almost brings you back to another song of hers that you can easily interchange. So there's a lot of TikToks coming up now where like you start with one version of the new song and it rolls right into an old song. So. It's all sounding familiar.
I'm tired of her word. You know, they say she's clever lyrically, and maybe a little bit, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of like her little,
lyrically,
it's annoying, her wordplay.
I know. Lyrically, though, this is a really, like, if you were just going to base it off of like how things are written and styled in it, this is an amazing album. Sonically, though, it doesn't match.
No, it's not.
I think lyrically,
she's boring. She's just a teenager. I'm sorry.
Well, she's a 34-year-old grown woman.
So. Exactly. And she acts like a teenager. And I'm sorry. Like, you listen to... This is not going to be the White Album in 30 years. This is not going to be... That's what I'm saying about these artists. No one's going to care about this stuff in 10 years. It's like, I'm sorry, they're not. No one's making any art here. They're just making commerce.
Well, maybe this is her also like giving a farewell of like, I am done now.
She's not done.
You never know.
I'm sorry. I'm starting to believe that she's insincere. I'm starting to believe that she's just a perfect phony. You know, and then
I've heard people call her that before. Where like she
and she knows how to be nice in public. She knows how to help someone when they fall down. She walks. A photographer falls over. She helps them. She's great to kids. I don't buy her. Something about her. I don't buy her. I buy Billie Eilish more than I buy Taylor Swift. You know, I'm sorry.
And they're also, I don't know if you've seen this, because in the week or two that we haven't spoken, Coachella also happened. So there's been a lot of reviews on that, and a lot of people are saying that Sabrina Carpenter is now like the new Taylor Swift.
Who they? I didn't know who that is.
She opened up for Taylor Swift on the last leg of her tour. She's like a former Disney star who like went off to try and like break the stigma of Disney. So she went from like one extreme to the next, and she does have a good couple catchy pop songs, but she's like the younger version of Taylor Swift right now.
I thought Ed Sheeran was the new Taylor Swift.
No. He's honestly, in my mind, I think he is actually done recording his own stuff. I think he's probably going to go into the realm of co-writing after the last album that he did, Autumn's.
Mm.
Or Autumn Variation,
or whatever it's called. The music business is over the way we knew it. Yep. There's going to be no more great artists. I'm sorry, people. The days of like Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and iconic David Bowie and Peter Gabriel and it goes on and on and on, and the Beatles and the Stones and T-Rex and Elton John from the 70s and Jackson Browne, it's done. There's nobody good. You know, they're probably out there. The thing is, they probably are out there, but because of the way it's done now with the streaming and the way the platforms are, it's so polluted with nonsense and so dumbed down because we're letting the people judge what's good now.
It's ridiculous, actually. I mean, people are not considering the idea that those iconic names that you just mentioned, we lived with those artists in real time. They would be influenced by the past, but they would bring something new to the marketplace, right? And we basically lived with them in real time, and they were documenting in song and in performance the times that we were living in. That doesn't happen so much anymore. When an artist has the ability to dump 30 tracks on, you know, on a...
Sorry, 31. Just
31 tracks on a streaming platform, you know, where's the scarcity? Where's the shared experience of, oh, I can't wait to hear your new album? It's instantaneous what they're providing, and I'm not sure it's a...
And then the title,
an endearing experience,
and then the obnoxious title, the tortured poet. What's it called?
The Tortured Poets Department.
Oh yeah, like, oh, poor baby. I feel so sorry for you, you billionaire baby.
I will say, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? I Can Do It with a Broken Heart, and Down Bad. I mean, the thing is, I had to listen to it without Kenzie because I saw the explicit marking on almost
she's using
all
the
of
F
them.
Word.
Like, so that's where she's definitely not creating stuff that's like for the younger generation that she's normally appealed to.
I think that's contrived too.
Mm-hmm.
Using the F word to be cool, like John Lennon said, we're still effing peasants, you know. But he was real, you know. I don't know. It's like, it's I don't know.
I totally agree with that. The idea that the authenticity of the artists that we used to, you know, in real time discover, much different than today. And I think, unfortunately, I think that happened with hip hop. I think the idea that, you know, labels were scrambling to sign people that came off the streets and had a certain street cred, I think they became less and less and less artistic as a result.
I think this right now. I think if you work for a record company and you have a man bun... You know, and you know what? When did we stop shaving? Well, why don't the kids shave anymore? What's wrong?
Oh, why, like, why do they have beards and stuff?
Yeah, but not even good beards. Like, scraggly anything. Like, you know, half beards.
Like, they look like a homeless person beard?
Yeah. I can see if you have a good, like, Don Johnson or George Michael or a cool, like, half full beard. But they have these scraggly little things. Like, like, what are you trying to be with a man bun? Walking around with this scraggly crap on your face, and you want women to go out with you?
And
they go out with them.
If you're unshaven and if you have a man bun, you stay off Carl's Yard, too.
I believe this, too. You're going to think I'm stupid. I think if you grow facial hair, it's because you are just totally insecure.
That's not true.
No, anyone with facial hair is because they're trying to hide something or trying to prove something. You know, show your face. Put it out there. What are you hiding?
He might be onto something there because
it's an ego thing, man.
I have a little goatee.
Yeah, I know why you have that. You know why you have that? Because
to hide my double chin.
No, that's not why you have that. This is why you have that, because you're getting older and you want to still have something that gives you a look of a cool thing, that you're cool. So that's your cool affectation, you know?
Well, people... You know, they do say I look cool.
Your essence is who you are, not what you wear or how your hair is cut or what's on your chin or what's, you know. I think the world has gone wrong. Listen to me today. Another rant.
Another rant. What? Oh, go man. Figure.
Oh, I figured man. It would be ranty considering... considering she should not be named released an album. So.
All I do now is rant. That's all I do. No more giving information. No more being funny. My life has become one long rant.
No, your rants are funny to me. So
no,
that's
this is all truth. This is
your core. This is your core. This is what you bring to the podcast.
What podcast? What are we doing here?
What else did you want to talk about today, Carl, besides she who shall not be
Well,
named?
That's the big news, where I think it's a money grab. You know, she just made $15 billion on her tour, our movie. Now she's going to sucker all these people to listen to her 85-track
She's also
opus.
She's still got like 70... plus shows on the Eras tour that she's going to pick back up again in May. So,
not that I care, but didn't I hear something that Beyonce, when her record dropped, she broke the one-day streaming record?
And Taylor did that.
I'm not so sure that wasn't released to take that away from Beyonce. You know, it used to be that you planned years in advance to release big records. Now people are, you know, dropping them at the end of the week, you know?
I honestly think there probably is no rhyme or reason or schedule for when artists tend to drop things anymore. I think they just
pretty
drop
serendipitous,
them.
Yeah. You know, pretty.
Oh, then another thing too that bugged me too, now that I'm ranting. Yeah. So I watched, you know, I'm a Long Island guy, and I grew up with Billy Joel. I loved him back in the 70s. Yeah. Yeah. So I saw this 100th anniversary show he did at the Garden, right, on TV. It was lackluster, man.
Was it really?
A good friend of mine, he was in the original band, and he's telling me playing with Billy Joel is like being in a Billy Joel copy band, you know? That's what he said, because every song is exactly the same. So I'm watching this show, and it's like perfect renditions of the song, but with nothing. It's like everyone's playing the parts correctly, everything's doing right, blah, blah, blah. There was nothing. I could care less. He could sing good. It was all these good songs.
He could still sing, yeah.
But it was horrible. It's like I was sitting there going, "What? What?" Like, you
vapid.
Know, it was. Yeah. It was. It's like we've become this society of like we just tolerate the most mundane. We have dumbed down people. We are dumb now. If you're listening to me right now, it's because you're dumb. And that's basically. That's all I gotta say.
Well. Why don't we take a break from?
So what
all
good
of
do you
these...
have to say, Carl?
I was going to say. Why don't we take a break and listen to another single by AJ called "My Kind of People"? Maybe they will end up being your kind of people, Carl. Before that, we'll listen to our sponsor for the week, which is Loopersom. In this episode, Nicole wants to give a shout out to someone she just met, but who she's been following online for many, many years. Sarah Looper, as we know her as Looper Som, is a wine educator and professional sommelier. She is changing how America learns about wine, and she is the sommelier at Il Buco. She is also a certified wine educator and is taking her Vino Vocab class out on the road. For those who would like to know her, you can go follow her on Instagram at Looper Som. That's at LOOPERSOMM. And know that she is the hashtag Som for everyone.
Every time I turn on my TV, losing my faith in humanity. It's full of angry bad news faces, but there's a new story breaking. Don't even have to leave my neighborhood. I'm uncovering everyday acts of good that you won't see in any headline. The more I look, the more I find kind people. bunch of beautiful, kind people. My kind of people. Just look for a smile and you'll find my kind of people. Simple smile, a friend dropping by to talk for a while. When you're down, they'll lift you up. Slow to judge, quick to love. Helping hand that holds the door. Random people paying it forward to the next one waiting in line. The more you look, the more. Surrounded by a bunch of beautiful, kind people. My kind of people. Just look for a smile and you'll find my kind of people. Surrounded by a bunch of beautiful, kind people. My kind of people. Just look for a smile and you'll find my kind of people. Oh, if your vibe is your tribe, then I wanna be surrounded by all kinds of kind people.
Okay, that was very John Mayer-esque. I will agree with that.
No, Jason Mraz.
Jason Mraz. No, I got John Mayer from that, too.
I think I
think it was a positive song. I like it.
It's a very positive song. It takes balls to do a positive song like that. I think it does. I mean, you know, that it's not edgy.
Anyway, did we talk to this guy or what?
We did. He answered our questions of the week. So the first question that we asked him is to tell us a little bit about himself.
My name is AJ Rags. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And about 2 years ago, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee to pursue my lifetime dream of becoming a server down on Broadway. But actually, I moved to pursue my dream of being a full-time singer-songwriter, performer, artist. It's been a wild ride these past 2 years. I've worked with a mentor here in town from Global Songwriters Connections, Charisse Voltore, for about 6 or so years now. So I already had a decent network built up down here before I moved. And every time I would come here, it just was harder and harder to go back to Pittsburgh. So I felt that that meant I was meant to come into town and live here full time. And the connections I've made, the fun I've had, the things I've learned here have just been so invaluable, and I'm so grateful to God for giving me the means to be here. I am a pop rock, pop hip hop artist, and I'm still figuring out exactly where my sound is going, but it's a wild ride, and I'm just excited to see where it leads me.
So Greg, is it still, I remember when I moved there for the first time, it was a 3-year town, then it became a 5-year town, now it's a 10-year town, am I correct?
I think a couple of decades should
so
be well.
I know it's people still moving down there. It's still, I think it lost that Nashville, moving to Nashville to make it a songwriter vibe, right?
If you came to town to be a singer, songwriter, performer, artist, do you have any idea how much money can be made 10 years of serving, 10 years of waiting tables? Yeah, it's like you won't need the career after you're done 10 years of tips on Lower Broad. Now, I don't know. Obviously, people are still coming. I just recently was at something that a presentation of the hotel business for Nashville, and, you know, what they call ADR, average daily rate for a hotel room in Nashville, just continues to rise and rise and rise, and it's probably 30% more than it was 5 years ago. It's crazy.
That's why I stay in Franklin. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I don't know if you remember this, but
people keep coming.
I got spoiled because you brought me down there for the first time, and the first thing I did was not only play in 12th and Porter, but then I did like a kind of an opening head weekend night at the Bluebird, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And you got me on stage there, and they were looking at me like, because I was banging and sweating and doing what I do. And they're looking at this guy. But I loved it because it's the first place, because New York, they don't listen to you like the way they do in Nashville.
Right.
They would listen to me. Matter of fact, I remember, I know it's not there now, but it was that early on that I think Amy even put my picture on the wall in the back by the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's gone now, but I had a picture on the wall in the Bluebird for a couple of months.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't think that the average person that visits Nashville for a weekend of fun and frolic, I don't think they're technically music aficionados. I mean, I think they may be fans of a particular couple of artists, but for the most part, I don't think that they're the informed music listener that used to come here in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know? Bringing this up, Carl, Nicole, I wanted to do a shout out for somebody that is writing amazing songs, and they, over the course of the last 10 years, have numerous hits, numerous cuts, but they have basically been putting a lot of time and energy into making their own music. This guy's name is Luke Dick, D-I-C-K, and he had a band a few years back called Republican Hair. Now he has a solo recording out, just dropped a couple weeks ago. And I listened to it and I thought, man, this is genius level, popular country slash, I don't know, I don't even know what it's a slash with, but super creative.
We'll put it in our
show notes.
You're showing us, right.
The name of the album is Lachland. And I met this guy a few years ago at South by Southwest, and he was performing for BMI. And I just think he's a genius-level writer. So go out and check it out, and we'll do whatever it is we do to get him a couple bucks.
It's high praise coming from you.
Yeah, that it really is.
What else did we ask, AJ?
So we asked AJ, what music artists have inspired your career so far?
There are so many artists that have inspired me. I would say some of my biggest inspirations, Tori Kelly is a huge one of mine. I just am constantly wowed by her vocal prowess and how talented she is, and I'm inspired by her faith in God. Actually, I've seen her 3 times, but I met her twice. And that's a story for another time, but love Tori Kelly. Ed Sheeran is a really, really big one for me. I've seen him 3 times, actually, and last time I saw him in the pit here in Nashville at Nissan Stadium. I just love his music. I think his songwriting ability is unparalleled, and he's super talented. And he actually inspired me to learn how to use a looper pedal myself. I'm also really into Knox right now. He's kind of an up-and-coming pop rock artist, and I just love his music. I think it's very similar to the kind of route I want to go. A throwback is Steve Perry. That guy can sing like nobody's business. And I hope to someday be able to emulate his talent.
Okay. I do love Tori Kelly. And I love Ed Sheeran. So I like this guy.
Okay.
Yeah. He seems like a very likable, kind of a straightforward personality.
What did you think about him saying Steve Perry was one of his inspirations?
Steve Perry was a great singer. I saw Journey 2 or 3 times over the course of the 80s, 70s and 80s.
Anyway, he answered one more question. He answered our, like, He asked us a question. Let's see.
Oh, fun. I like that.
You can answer this, Greg, right?
My question for you guys at 9420 is, what is your favorite part about making this podcast, and what is your least favorite part, if you have any least favorite parts? And what genre of music is your favorite? And I'll throw one more in. Who is your favorite artist? Better be AJ Rags. Just kidding.
I'm not going to tell him what my favorite music is, but I'll tell him what the best part of doing this podcast is when it's finished and I upload it. And the worst part of this podcast is when I got to do
all the rest.
Is doing it, yeah. All the rest. So that's the answer to that.
I would say the best part of the podcast is when we actually record. I think it's a lot of fun to be able to have this weekly discussion with you two and just see kind of what we all think about the music industry and what's gone on in the past
week. You think this is a discussion?
I do. And then the least favorite part is the technical difficulties that we seem to run into more often than not.
My favorite type of music or genre is called exotica. And it's a bunch of stuff that your grandparents or your great-grandparents might have listened to. It's almost comical to people that don't get it. So that's my favorite kind of music. The best part of this podcast is that feeling that you have after you record one that I think that's going to be good.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And I also think that the best part is Carl's unique editing and production abilities.
Because I'll tell you something. If you think I'm a jerk now, when you hear this podcast, you should hear what I edit out. So this is...
Exactly. Yeah. My least favorite part is actually the scheduling. It's difficult to get all three of us together, and sometimes you've got so much going on through the week that it's like, you know, this is the last thing I want to do. But
we make it work.
As Carl Jung said, what you need most will be found likely where you least want to look for it.
All right. Yeah. Carl Jung.
Yeah.
All right.
We need to start a hip-hop Carl Jung act.
Go ahead. Are we done with this?
We are done.
Why do we do this anyway? I'll take Carl's
line. No, you can't use my line. you don't say it right. You don't have the right, you know, affectation. Like,
no, you have to say it on the exhale.
Like... Why do we do this?
Oh, all right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the 9420 podcast. Make sure you listen all the way through because we have one more single called We Were the Band. For everything we spoke about in this episode, you can go to our website, which is 9420.com. That is the number is 94 and the letters TWENTY. Until next time, we'll talk to y'all later.
There was only white noise when you weren't here, mostly lo-fi, but now it's clear. Oh, all that changed when you came into my lane. Now my slow jams will never be the same. We walk into the party, cool like an Barbie. People crowded like we pulled up in a Ferrari. Brighter than the stars, higher than the moon. The moment we entered the room, we were the band. Whoa, whoa. Favorite song, like disco and doo-wop, we'd panic all night long. I'm smooth like Mendez, and nothing holds me back. You're a dangerous woman, like Ari dressed in black. We walk into the party, cool like an embody. People crowded like we pulled up in a Ferrari. Brighter than the stars, higher than the moon. Sing our songs, played so long.
to the party, cool like Ken and Barbie. People crowded like we pulled up in a Ferrari. Brighter than the stars, higher than the moon.
Houston, we found the problem.
We were the best.